providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in here to wrap up KER Politics. This is going to be a two-segment wrap, talking with my buddy Dan Perseni. I talk with Dan primarily because, like Jimmy McKinney, Dan is very, very astute when it comes to political situations. He watches probably more news, more current events than I do. Danny, let's start out. Let's talk about the deal with Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, I have to tell you, I watch the Kyle Rittenhouse trial almost every single day, and it's interesting. I'm getting a lot of flack because I supported Kyle, as did McKinney. Now, we were at a breakfast, I guess it was about a week ago, and a couple of the people at that breakfast were amazed and quite frankly angry that he was acquitted. What's your opinion on that?
You know, I think the Kyle Rittenhouse trial tells you everything you need to know about the state of our affairs in the United States. We are so polarized that you can't look at this trial and not come away with this kid acted in self-defense. I don't know how you could look and think any other way. Now, some people are going to argue, well, you know, he shouldn't have been there. Well, neither should the looters and the rioters. Neither, they shouldn't have been there either, destroying that city. So it works both ways. This kid wanted to defend his town. It is his town. His dad lives there. He's got cousins there. He's got friends there. He spends a lot of time there.
Well, you bring up a really good point. Let me interrupt you just for a second, Danny. You bring up a really good point. A lot of the people who are anti-Kyle Rittenhouse, in my neck of the woods anyway, say that this is not his community. He lives with his mother, which is a number of miles away. The only familial connection that he has to that particular city, Kenosha, is that his dad lives there. You're saying he also has a social life there, is that correct?
Absolutely. These are from people that didn't even watch the trial. You know, and the sad story is none of this came out beforehand. I watched the trial thinking it was a totally different case. It's an amazing story. This kid was in prison for 87 days without running water for a big chunk of it. It's stunning how they treated this kid. They treated him like a criminal. They already prejudged the case, and the media prejudged it for you without any facts. This, if you look on a map, some people live near a state line, and they have friends on both sides of the line, and they have relatives. In this case, he has a parent on both sides of the state line. You've lived near a state line for much of your life. And it's common that you own both of those towns that are on either side of the state line. It's just silly that you can't be, you know, consider that your town. I live across the bridge from San Francisco. I worked there for 30 years, but I didn't live in it during the time I was working there. That was my town. I live on the other side now, and now my office is on this side, so I focus more on that. Both of them are kind of my hometown. I was born in San Francisco, but I don't live there. He had a lot of ties to that area. But this kid, really an impressive kid. I watched those tapes as close as anybody could watch it, and they kept speeding up and slowing down, and they had drones, and they had more resolution, less resolution. This kid killed a couple of marauding people out there, and this is what the left doesn't like. They don't like it when their scumbags don't get away with marauding. They think they own the rioting business. And this sounds harsh, but anyone that gets in the way of their rioting, of their burning, and their looting, they take offense to. This kid showed tremendous restraint. I probably would have pulled the trigger sooner. I'm not a firearm person. You know, it's just not my thing. But watching him control the weapon like he did and wait till the very last second before he had to pull the trigger and use lethal force, these guys were scumbags. They were trying to kill him. And he did everything he could, and you sat and watched that trial where the prosecutor was saying, well, you weren't shot, as if you're supposed to wait to be killed, and then you can do something, as if you're supposed to wait to be shot. It's stunning how where we've fallen. But these people in Kenosha, they handle firearms up there. They know what it is and when somebody attacks you. They know what's reasonable and what isn't reasonable. And the prosecutor tried to make the case that, oh, these guys were just burning and looting and lighting things on fire and throwing things at the police and using the N-word. And it was just small-time stuff. They were talking about their town getting burned. they came back with exactly the verdict I thought. I'm surprised it took 3+ days, but it's an amazing thing.
Danny, let me throw one thing in. You said using the N word. The fact of the matter is there were no N's African-Americans involved in this whole situation, other than the fellow who started, perhaps. I'm going to have to edit that out. There were no African-Americans involved in that particular situation, Danny.
Yeah, it wasn't a race case at all.
No.
And this is where we need to get back to. The bottom line is this. Every case stands on its own. They're all different. All of these cases, Michael Brown, go down the list of every one of these cases. They're all different. Some of them you'd have to say, you know, it suggests that there's some racism involved. Most of them do not. Most of them are clear cases of self-defense or proper police procedures. And we need to start looking at cases and being fair with people. We're just not doing it. And most people on the left, I can't say most, the people that I've met on the left, they typically have not watched the case and don't want to watch the case. They don't like facts that get in the way of their narrative.
Well, a lot of them do watch it, but a lot of them do see whatever, you know, CNN has to say, or what the local paper, typically the New York Times, has to say. And I do find that to be kind of interesting. I am right now slowly toying with the idea about starting to read the New York Times, only because I want to see what the other side is saying. I'm pretty well informed, as you know, and as listeners know, when it comes to these particular situations, because we talk about them on a daily basis, actually. I personally, what I find to be interesting, getting back to Rittenhouse just for a second, is once he was announced not guilty, he was immediately on Fox. I watched the interview. Talk about an impressive 17-year-old young man. He also was at Mar-a-Lago. I know that Trump invited him down there. I bet you he had exactly the same opinion that I just gave. I mean, this kid was a good kid, and I don't think he had anything in his mind other than to try and help the people who he knew were going to be in big trouble when it came to looting. I mean, how could anybody come to the conclusion that he wouldn't have been in big trouble because of the looting? I mean, look what happened in Seattle. Look what happened again in Portland just about a week or so ago. Yet another riot. How about San Francisco? I guess your city, for the most part, celebrated Thanksgiving with a whole bunch of thievery, shoplifting. Comment on that real quick, if you would. I don't want to get off on that, but wasn't there quite a bit of thievery in San Francisco over the Thanksgiving holiday?
Yeah, we had an issue in Union Square, but this is more of the same. This city allows this kind of thing to happen, and occasionally they deal with it around the edges. It's the problem is you have district attorneys in these very blue cities that allow this type of thing. The question is, when's the moment when people say, enough is enough, we're not putting up with this anymore? I don't know if we've hit that moment. I hope we have.
I don't think we have. No, not even close, not yet. The only place where I think that you might have a little bit of argument on the other side of that particular issue is something I want to briefly talk about in the final segment of the show. But I think that I also watched very, very closely, thanks to one of our listeners, a retired tenured physics professor, sent us some information, some audio information on the trial down in Atlanta. And I have to say, the trial in Atlanta, in my opinion, the question and answer period after that trial, when the defendants were proven to be guilty, after that trial, there was a very civil give and take, Danny, between the defense attorneys and the crowd that gathered. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back to wrap up the show with Dan Pacini.